from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Tons to get into over the next 3 hours as it is week one of the college football season. Mike Conte going to join us later in the hour as well. He was in the building last night for the Dream and the Fever, the Caitlin Clark show, as it were. But good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, I mean, it looked like it was a great night. I saw the picture of you and baby girl. It looked like she was having the time of her life. And then, just like Rusty was saying, all those young ladies, those little girls and everything around the court, it just looked like it was a great atmosphere for a ball game. And I mean, you were talking before the show about how it was electric and everything, and she got banged up a little bit.
Yeah.
Talking about Caitlin going down with the sprained ankle. But yeah, I mean, just look at that crowd and moved into an NBA building. It was just an amazing sight to see. And I'm glad that little mama had a good time.
It was very cool to be in there because, I mean, this is something that, you know, the Caitlin Clark phenomenon, the Caitlin Clark effect, whatever you want to call it, has been talked about for like a year now plus, right? Like since, you know, she's breaking all these records and what she was doing at Iowa and all that. And to hear about it and see it on TV and all that was one thing. But then just to be in the building last night, I don't even mean, like the game was good. She rolled her ankle in the first quarter. She played okay. They also played great defense on her. I mean, they face guard her for 90 feet. Mm-hmm. Like they're just on her. And the Dream made it a good game in the fourth quarter, had a possession to tie it with like 30 seconds left. Were unable to and they lose. But like just walking around the concourse, there was 17,000 people in there last night. Biggest crowd ever for a WNBA game in Atlanta. And I bet 1 in 3 people had a Caitlin Clark shirt on.
Yeah.
Like whether a jersey or a shirt, like a lot of homemade shirts.
Uh-huh.
Like,
really?
You know, uh-huh. Like people got their crickets out at home. It was like Caitlin Fever and stuff like that. It was crazy. Because like these aren't people that are from Indiana. Mm-hmm. These aren't Indiana Fever fans. Yeah. These maybe some of them are, but these are Caitlin Clark fans,
right.
Which is insane. Like it's so cool that something like this has taken that league by storm. And I've been a fan of the WNBA for a long time. There's been great players in that league for a very long time. I'm not one that is going to downplay that, but this is different than that. Like this, and it's okay to say that. Like the hype and enthusiasm surrounding this is different than that. And, you know, just, and it was, you know, it's like grown men in Caitlin Clark shirts. It's a lot of little girls and women and stuff like that, but there's little boys in there too. Like it's a lot of different people that were there to see the game last night. And, that's cool. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest, it was great to take Lily to it. She didn't really get like all of it. She didn't know who Caitlin Clark is.
Right.
I tried to talk about it and show her some YouTube videos and stuff like that. She wanted a Ryan Howard doll.
There you go.
She got a Ryan Howard doll.
There you go, my girl.
Caitlin Clark came to town. Ryan Howard got a new biggest fan last night.
Right.
She's really excited to have that. And like she has an Uncle Ryan. It's not spelled the same, whatever, but
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, so she was fired up about the ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, in the suite there was like a soft serve machine.
Yeah.
So we went back to it a couple different times. It was unlimited ice cream. So she was pretty fired up about that.
Right.
But yeah, that's a memory I'll always have, taking her to that game. And who knows, maybe Caitlin Clark plays in the WNBA for 15 years. 15 years from now, Lily's like 20 years old, mm-hmm. and we go to another Caitlin Clark game, and we get a chance to see that. But yeah, it was really fun. Shout out to the listeners that were in the suite with us as well, Alex and Chance. They both won tickets on the show. Right. They were there with their daughters. Mm-hmm. Chance had a 5-year-old daughter, so Lily and she were playing and having a good time. But yeah, it was cool. It was really, really cool. I'll be honest, it was unlike anything I've ever seen as far as like hype for an individual mm-hmm. in a game like that. I mean, I never got to go to I guess I went to a couple Patriots games when Tom Brady was the quarterback, but different. Like right. it's sort of a different right. thing. It was incredible yeah. to see.
I mean that's just good because I mean the sport is growing. Like you said, we were talking actually about Maya Moore this morning, me and you, and how much of that just she was just like just different. Maya Moore was just a different player and everything like that. And I saw that she just got her number and stuff retired last week or sometime. But yeah, it was always one of those things where you're just waiting for that wave. And we saw it come in, and you saw the growth of the game, the money that's getting impacted with this game and everything last night. And I mean, we live in an era of sports where people cheer players, not teams anymore. They yep. follow players, it's not true. Teams anymore. And she right now.
There were louder cheers, and this is not a criticism yeah. of the Dream or anything. This yeah. probably happens in every building around the WNBA. There was louder cheers when the Fever made baskets.
Yeah, yeah, because of her.
Yeah,
because
of her.
And you're rooting for her and everything like that. And,
now, there was a lot of Dream fans in there, too.
Right.
And defense chants and all that when they were making their run in the mm-hmm. fourth quarter. But, yeah, like, it's a lot of Indiana Fever fans
yeah.
that probably weren't Indiana Fever like fans here, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's probably like that everywhere
Absolutely.
She goes. And I've seen some more and more of her. You remember, it was a big thing about the Olympics. She needed that break more than anybody.
Yes, she's been
and
playing
she's
very
been
well.
She's been playing very well since then because she's probably got a chance to rest her body, rest her damn mind, mm-hmm. and things like that. I did see the clip this morning of her giving the little girl her shoes, which was freaking awesome. Made that little young lady's life, you know, made her night, her week, maybe her damn year, you know. And I'm curious because, you know, because they are still relatively young and everything like that. Did they understand the appreciation of meaning, you know, thank you, Caitlin, and everything. But you know what you got right there? Like, people outside of her giving that to that little girl, some people want them shoes.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Like, she looks, oh, my God, Caitlin. Somebody, one of them damn connections, like, Caitlin Clark shoes, huh?
I could sell those
on
eBay
eBay.
Thousands of dollars.
You know what I mean, man? But yeah, that's some dude that lives in the basement and wears drawers.
Yeah, some bum.
Yeah, some bum ass dude.
Let that kid have their moment, you know, their dreams come true in that moment and appreciate it differently,
exactly.
you know, than somebody who might sell a little bit of, might get a little money off of it, whatever. But it was cool. It was really, really cool.
That's good, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you had a good time. Glad everybody had a good time. And again, that's our last time coming to Atlanta?
I think so.
Okay.
I think this year. I think so. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know the schedule.
I
was in and out of it. I was like, oh, I was trying to actually see you, but I couldn't. You were up in the suite. And
yeah, we were up
pan.
There.
Sometimes they pan. And
we
everything,
were up there.
But,
yeah,
I didn't get a chance to see you. But yeah, we'll talk to Mike at 11:40. United, you know, still United.
We don't need to talk to him about
sure?
United.
Mm-mm. Okay. Thank you.
No, I mean,
Yeah, I was just curious if we were to mention them or
Mm-mm.
something.
No, okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
Right. We just ask them football questions and about the Dream game
yeah,
last night.
Yeah, football questions. You know, today is always that, you know, the hardest day probably for most coaches because today is a cut-down day. Get to 53 by 4 o'clock today. A lot of them have already been made, and you look at it from a standpoint. Sometimes, you know, I know – I can't say I know because I've never been in that situation before, but, you know, do you already – and I've asked players before, did you kind of – feel that this is going to happen already. A lot of them have the thing where, yeah, but still as a player, you might know, well, yeah, he ain't really that good, but you still got to go in there like, damn, man, he let you go down.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe that, dog. I thought you had a good chance.
I know we have six highly paid wide receivers.
You remember that one play you made? I thought you were safe for that. But then, you know, you try to, because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be the Debbie Down. That's why.
Yeah, you can't be like, well, of course. What did you think was going
to
happen?
That's one of the things where you're always glad that you don't have to be in the building this day.
Yeah.
You know, you're out doing your thing or whatever. And then you come back in and you see all the empty lockers. But yeah, when you run into that one guy that's got that damn black trash bag over his shoulder, you're like, damn. Hey, man, stay up, dog. Don't give up on that dream, bro. You know.
Is that what you say?
I do. I do, man.
That's a good encouraging thing to say.
I do. I mean,
that's
I
good encouragement.
I want to be encouraged and everything like that, man, because it's got to be a bad feeling.
Hey, man, you should have known.
You see, that's what I'm saying. I got to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should call your college coach and see if he's got any, like, position coaching availability.
Yeah, like,
because that's
you're
your future.
Be a TA or something like that, man. Yeah, don't give up.
You need
up
to be a GA.
Don't give up on it, dog. You never know, man. You never know how the phone works. You might get a
You
phone
never
call.
Know.
You don't.
And, like, you know, practice squads are deeper than they used to
they
be
are.
And all that. And guys get hurt all the time. Who knows?
Yeah.
You get a call. Keep your phone on.
That's it. And that's all you can tell them, man. But yeah, this is one of those days where you sit back and you, when you come in, it's amazing. And I go back to Falcons. They got that beautiful locker room. Probably all the lockers were filled last week, and now it's just going to be empty lockers everywhere.
Yeah. Dude, so now the guys get two?
That, now,
like, what do you do? Because they had to have 90 for but training camp. Like,
there's certain guys who get two lockers.
Okay.
And if I go on this team, Grady.
Grady gets two. Okay.
Probably Kirk maybe gets two.
Okay. Judon.
Well, since he's new here.
Oh, he's new, so maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe not Judon, but I'm talking about Grady.
Kirk,
probably, because quarterback usually gets two.
Okay.
And
other than that, maybe like all the best guys are. Okay, Jake Matthews. Okay.
Has two lockers.
Lindstrom.
Yeah, probably those who's got two lockers. So, yeah, certain players.
This is a lot of empty lockers in there, then. Wow.
It is, man. It really is, man.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's that time of year, though. I mean, you're getting to it where you got tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, are probably going against, like the coaches say, us, Falcons versus Falcons. And then you got it's showtime, man. It's Monday you coming in. You get acting like usually the first Monday you get the extra practice in. Maybe in shorts and helmets or something like that. Tuesday you go with the regular day off and then you get back to work. And then it's Thursday. You got the Chiefs in. Who the hell are the Chiefs got? The Chiefs in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Then Friday you got the Eagles and the Packers, which I'm still just.
In Brazil?
It's just like Friday down in Brazil. And then you know, it's on and popping from there.
The Braves had a nice win last night as well. They probably wish they could have just ended the game at the rain delay. Now they couldn't have because it wasn't a complete game yet, but they scored 9 runs in the first 2 innings.
Yeah, man.
Just exercising some of that offensive frustration.
They got a week worth of offense.
They sure did. Olsen had 5 RBIs in the first 2 innings. They're up 9-1, and then the rains come in, so they had to go on ice for like 90 minutes. They came in, and Max Fried was good. He got some bad luck, both from his defense and then just balls finding holes there in the 5th inning, but they get the 10-6 win. They scored a ton of runs. 9 of them were in the first 2 innings, so I guess the offense didn't decide to come back out after the rain delay. But incredible catch by Michael Harris in center field late in the game as well. Didn't know he was even going to play.
Yeah.
Might not have even been able to make the throw if he had to because the way his hand was taped up. But his glove hand worked.
It was awesome.
And he made that play in center field. So
unbelievable. Now, we need some – I mean, that's the only thing. When they score big runs like this, it's kind of like
– oh, yeah, you know what's going to happen today.
Kind of like –
yeah, they're going to score 2 today. But at least they got their 10 out yesterday. That was good to see. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's trending here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Another 0-2 to Olsen.
Oh.
That ball is hit high and deep to right field, and it is long gone. A 3-run bomb for Matt Olsen. 4 batters in. It's 4-0 Atlanta.
Always nice when you can score on every single batter that comes to the plate.
He smacked the hell out of that ball.
Yeah, he destroyed that baseball. God, he turned on that thing. It was a high fastball, too. He was all over that thing. And then he comes up again the next inning and drives in a couple more runs. Mettelson had 5 RBIs in the first 2 innings of the game. And kind of felt like at that point with the way Max was going and all that, like, all right, they're good. Luckily, they added a few more because when the bullpen came in, they were not particularly sharp. Now, maybe it was just we're up 10 to whatever, and there was a rain delay, and I don't know. I don't know what it was. But it wasn't great to see the bullpen pitch the way they pitched last night. But good to see the offense scoring the way that they scored. Marcelo Zuna stays ridiculous, stays ahead in the National League in terms of RBIs and all that. And good first win in the series against Minnesota.
Yeah, Merrifield was outstanding.
Dude, five for five.
At the leadoff spot. I mean, you were just talking because you're seeing a lot more of this. Like, they got to, when Ozzie comes, you got to find a place for this dude.
You have to.
you got to find a place to keep this guy in because he's playing so well right now. And me, I was like, well, we don't know if Austin Riley's going to come back. He is a utility outfielder. Does he go over to third base or something like that? But he seems like a guy that you know, that's got to continue to be in the lineup.
Yeah, and I honestly think you got to keep him up there up top.
Yeah.
Like, he's done a really good job in the leadoff spot. Good to see Soler back. He still looks a little ginger.
And you saw a couple of those where you're like, why did he run on this?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could tell that. You know, I mean, obviously, we know what happened. Was it on Saturday when, you know, he just couldn't make it to that ball in the outfield?
Yeah.
Gave up two.
Now, he did make a play.
That was Chris Sales. Yeah, that was Chris Sale, so I think it was.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
He made a play yesterday in right field that was he had to, like, go down and get it.
Yeah.
It was took him – wasn't too far from where he started to get there, but he got there.
He got
and
there.
He made the play.
He got there.
And then they subbed him out later in the game. Just they were up big, and they were like, you know what, it's slippery out there. Let's be careful with this guy's hamstrings. But, yeah, like, Whit Merrifield goes 5-for-5 last night. He's batting .400 basically since the Braves brought him in. And he's not going to continue to do that, but – it's a matter of ride the hot hand because of where the team is and all the injuries they have and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know when Ozzie's coming back, but sooner than Riley.
Right.
Obviously, Ozzie goes to second base when he comes back. I mean, you put him at third for Gio Urshela sometimes. He's been doing pretty good.
Maybe put him in
outfield? Maybe you get him in left field and work him in there. Maybe you get whatever, left or right or whatever. But I don't know. At this point, you got to – like, Whit Merrifield's got to play.
Yeah.
Like, his bat is too good right now to not have out there. Plus, he steals bases, too.
Yeah, I mean, he gives you an advantage. He gives you stuff that you obviously lost when Ronald Acuña, and I'm saying he's Ronald Acuña, but those elements of the game that put pressure on the on the opposing team when you have a guy on the base path with a possibility able to steal bases and everything. But, yeah, I love that. I always love Travis d'Arnaud. He's just always one of my favorite dudes out there, and he goes yard. And, you know, I was laughing about Soler. It's like does he smile? Have you seen him smile?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's a real serious cat. Like,
yeah.
Even, like, everybody has their own little handshakes. He just puts his hand out there, slaps, and just walks about his business.
Yeah, he doesn't have time for that.
He doesn't have time for it. And he also, he doesn't drop his shin guard and bat.
Oh, no, he goes very slowly.
Yeah, he goes slowly.
Yeah,
he
if you walk him, he's
he
going to take
off,
his time.
And then he hands it over to the bat boy. And then everybody usually takes it off right there at the plate.
Yeah.
Nobody, no.
Not Soler.
Just takes it over there.
No, the word walk, he takes that very seriously.
He is going to walk.
I'm
going
to walk to first base because you walked me. It's almost like he's mad that he gets walked.
Exactly.
Like, he looks so mad when they don't throw him strikes.
Frustrating as hell.
Because he loves to swing.
Yes.
And that man loves to swing hard. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. Did he smile after he hit that? He had to smile after he hit that home run against the Astros all those years ago. No.
I don't think he did.
Just a serious individual.
Yeah, dog.
Worried
about his business.
I was wondering, because, like, Whit, I never heard of that before. Whit. Never heard that name.
Oh, yeah. I played against Whit in high school. Whit Smith?
Whit Smith?
Whit Smith, yeah.
Do you think it was short for Whitley? Because that's what his name is.
Oh.
Whitley Merrifield.
Did not know that.
And his brother was at the game the other day, and his brother's name is Height. Hite.
Those are family names. Those are family names.
They are.
Yeah. I didn't know.
I like a unique name. You know?
His name
is it Whitley and Hitley?
Hit or Height.
Height?
Hite.
Whit and Height.
Whit and Height. If you add them together, it's exactly what they are. Family names is one word for it. You add them together, it's exactly what kind of names they are. Again, Mike Conte will join us in about 15 minutes. He was on the play-by-play call last night for the Dream and Fever game. Fever win the game, 84-79. All-time record for a WNBA game in the state of Georgia, 17,608. I was responsible for, well, I guess technically, we were responsible for six of them, right? Me, Lily, and then the two winners and their children, which was awesome. Awesome to get to meet a couple of listeners, both Alex and Chance. Really, really nice guys. Love the show. Listen every single day.
Appreciate
really cool to sit and hang out with those guys. It's very funny now that Lily is getting old enough to, like, watch sports and ask questions
because
she doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Right.
Like, we were watching the Georgia Tech game on Saturday, and I was like, call timeout. What does timeout mean to a four-year-old?
Right.
That means go in the corner.
Yeah.
She's like, they have to go to timeout?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, no. What they're going to do is they're going to call a timeout, and then they're going to come over, and they're going to huddle up and talk about what they're going to do next.
What do you think about this new two-minute timeout rule? Because they don't want to call it a two-minute warning.
Not a two-minute warning.
Not a two-minute warning. So do not call it that. But it's a two-minute timeout. Like, okay.
I think it's a two-minute warning.
No.
That's what I think
They do not want that.
But the reason, you know why they do it.
Yes, I understand that.
Show some commercials.
Yes, I understand that.
But no, work in a few more commercials.
The way they kept trying to emphasize it as not a two-minute warning, but a two-minute timeout.
It did throw me off. Again, it's one of the many things in this year's college football season they're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's new.
Yeah.
Oh, they do that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. It was pretty funny.
And the green dot on the quarterback's helmet.
Man.
No more sideline shenanigans.
And I think that's
the Connor Stallions rule, as we should call it.
I think that's probably the biggest adjustment for these kids.
Yeah.
It's because of the fact is that, you know, there were always signs and things like that. And you saw Haynes King a lot of times having to put his hands over his helmet.
Right. Because of the noise.
Because of the noise, and he couldn't hear the play. But
a lot of Kinkos near campus missing out on some of that poster money.
Missing out on that poster money. Missing out on that dough.
But then at one point, one of the ladies for the Dream got fouled, and she went to the ground. And then the guy comes out with the mop or whatever. He like the little to clean up the sweat. He's like, why is that guy cleaning the floor?
They're so observant.
And I was like, well, so when they're sweaty and then they hit the ground, they don't want it to be slippery.
Right.
And she goes, oh, yeah, because the ground's hard.
Yeah.
And then you can slip and fall and get hurt. I was like, yeah, that's
unbelievable.
Right. That's
unbelievable.
Right. And then the hawk was there, mascot was there, and came out and danced. And she was like, look at that. Look at the big bird. And I was like, yeah, the big bird's out there dancing. And then she was like, a little kid got to go out there, and the bird lifted the kid up, and the kid dunked it. And she was like, do I have to do that?
Yeah.
I was like, nope.
No, you don't have to do that.
She said, good. I don't want that bird to come up here.
There you go, man. Again, 4 years
keep
old.
Keep that bird away from me.
They noticed everything except for the actual game itself.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, really nothing, you know, nothing that happened on the court made much of an impact. But the dude cleaning the sweat off the floor and the dancers and the mascot. She loves mascots, obviously loves Blooper. And I was like, well, that's the mascot for this team. Blooper's the mascot for the Braves. And so, anyway.
That's awesome.
She got a Ryan Howard doll.
That's awesome. That's all
and she
matters.
Slept with it.
Yeah. Ryan Howard
played. She slept all snuggled up with it.
They pretty good. 16-7-2. Obviously, you know, Indiana, I think they're in the playoff pitch.
They are.
Pushing
out
everything. Yeah,
they would be in if the season ended today.
They would be in if it ended today. So,
they're playing better, too.
They are. Because
they're figuring it out.
I think that was the biggest thing to start the season because the young lady comes straight in from all that. And then, you know. The expectations and the because we talked about earlier, the amount of games that they tried to fit in for her.
Yeah, they played 11 games before a lot of teams even played 5.
You know, and so they were trying to do all that. Yeah. And so, yeah, she got some rest, and she looks a lot better. Hopefully this ankle injury isn't, you know, isn't serious or something to keep
didn't
her out.
Didn't seem like it would be.
Because the thing about it is, wherever they go next, they're going.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's there.
Yeah,
it's,
and for in. Yeah, and so that
Caitlin Clark's coming to
that
town.
That adds more pressure to her maybe to try to get out there, even if that ankle isn't healthy.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Hopefully not, but could be. All right, here's Kirby Smart from earlier in the week talking about getting ready for Clemson.
You study the history of the coordinators, and you look at that hard. You know Dabo has an impact on the offense, so you look at what he's done through his time being there. The most recent you look at is last year's games. And nobody is exactly what they were the year before, but you don't have any other options to study. You know, you don't have game film of this year, and you know, this is the only game that we'll go into without game film of this year, so it all starts to change. But I'm sure everybody across the country is the same way.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, and I was thinking about this game this morning, and I was like, how do I think it's going to play out? And I think it's going to be a slow starting game for some reason.
Mm.
You know, I think that I do think it'll be a slow starting game. Now, I could be completely wrong because I didn't know that Oregon was going to be as fast as it was. But I think that, you know, the biggest thing with Georgia is, you know, I don't know who's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Etienne's going to miss the game probably.
Say that again.
I think I don't think he's going to play.
The starting running back?
Yeah, I don't think he's a player.
Transfer from Florida?
Yeah, I don't think he's a player.
Got arrested earlier in the offseason?
Yeah.
Kirby hasn't committed to
it. He hasn't committed to it, but he hasn't said anything.
It's interesting.
I don't know. I don't know if he's going to play.
No one knows.
Yeah, I don't know.
No one knows if he's going to play.
I don't think he's going to play. And so you look at it from that standpoint, and Clemson's defense, their front seven is as good as any front seven in college football. So it's going to keep them in the game if Georgia wants to be physical. This goes back to, well, you got that guy that wears number 15. They got him as a Heisman Trophy candidate. I know we talked a little bit about what we're not hearing from the wide receiver position like we would hear about, you know, whatever in the offseason. But they still got playmakers and all those different things. So, I don't know. I just think it's going to be one of those slowly methodical, you know, you'll eventually win by 14. It's not going to be one of those things where I don't think Georgia's going to blow out Clemson.
Interesting.
I don't think they're going
to
blow out Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, the good – back to kind of what Kirby was talking about there for a minute and then certainly back to what you said because I think that's very interesting if that's what happens. The good thing about preparing for this Clemson team is not a lot of teams in the country can say this. We talked about this last week with Joe Tech. Same quarterback, same coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like most, there's very few teams in college football this year that have the same quarterback and the same coordinator from last year. Mm-hmm. Clemson does. Mm-hmm. It's Lincoln Riley's brother, right?
Whoever the guy at TCU was.
Riley's, I think it's his brother. Or anyway, maybe not. Somebody's brother. Somebody's brother's their offensive coordinator. I think it's Lincoln Riley's brother. But yeah, so I think you have an idea of what they're going to want to do offensively, at least from a philosophical standpoint. It'll be our first opportunity to look at that front seven of Georgia as well, because they need to be very good if Georgia is going to be good, especially the interior of that defensive line.
Right.
But if Etienne doesn't play, I could see him playing it like this. Like that would be a logical conclusion from the way that he's gone about it. But he doesn't want them to know that.
No.
They're not releasing a depth chart.
Nope.
Also, neither is Clemson, because Georgia's not. So, mind games. But if he was going to play, would you have said it already? Or if he was not going to play, would you have said it already? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Because, you know, Kirby, he is old school, keeps everything tight, you know, to the vest and everything, like, close to the vest, I'm sorry.
It is Lincoln Riley's brother.
Yeah, and so he looks
Garrett
at
Riley.
It from a standpoint of, you know, what does it matter if he plays or if he doesn't play? You know, we still got to go play this football game. That's
sure.
how Kirby looks
and
at it.
And that's a good mentality for him.
Yes.
I'll tell you why, because he's the best running back you have.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, you would love to have him right now. That's why I said, I don't know. That's just a thought. That's just my gut feeling.
If that's what he does, then he did the thing that everyone's sort of been asking for him to do with that program,
right.
Which is you have to drop the hammer on one of these guys and not, like, cut a backup, you know, or deal with it internally like most teams do. Like, if Etienne legitimately doesn't play against Clemson, that's as serious of a penalty as you can have for a guy who had an off-season mishap.
Yep.
I think that's about as good a leadership as you could show.
Yeah.
To me. Now, again, he might play.
He might play. Yeah. My gut could be wrong. I could just have gas. You know? But
would you eat something? You haven't eaten anything yet today.
I made some pork rinds, man.
Oh, you did? Early pork rinds?
That crunch, it wakes me up. Because I've been tripping lately. Buck, I've been tripping lately. Dude, I done got 8 hours like 3 days in a row.
Wow.
That's too much.
That's too much.
That
sounds great.
That's too much, dog. Like,
we had a mildly sick 1-year-old last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. He puked on me.
Hey.
You know what? It's all right.
It's all right. It's not the last time.
People have been puking at our house lately. You know? All right. We'll come back. Mike Conte is going to join us. He was on the call for the basketball game last night. We'll get his thoughts on college football kicking off on Saturday. Falcons preseason has come to an end. Lots to talk with Mike Conte about coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's Andy and Randy.
What a fantastic intro
on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
This hour of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. You were just talking, Randy, in the break about the
Backup quarterback
pretty solid
market.
Crop of backup quarterbacks.
Backup quarterback market
that are available.
Is flush.
Now, adding that extra, that third backup has really changed the game for quarterbacks in that market and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get to that. Right as we were leaving the air yesterday, CeeDee Lamb got his contract.
Yep.
So I guess.
No,
now,
it happened at one.
But no, that's, you know what? We
happened,
got to report.
It happened
it.
At 158.
We got to report.
59.
It. Thank you, Jerry Jones.
Yeah, appreciate you, Jerry.
Jerry Jones.
Did you see Jerry? Why he still. Remember, we had the conversation like, why Jerry won't give up GM? Jerry let everybody know.
He told everyone.
He told everybody.
Yeah, we'll get into that too. Boy. I'm glad Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. I'll be honest with you about that. It's just a unique individual.
Yes, he is. Yes,
all right.
He is.
Before we do any of that, though, Tuesdays at 11:40 mean it's time for Mike Conte. And Atlanta Dream broadcaster Mike Conte as well.
Part-time.
Was on the call last night.
I had a lot of fun. I know you guys hit on it at the top of the show. What a delightful sports experience that was.
It really
was. Wasn't it? It was a great time. There are a lot of people there to see Caitlin Clark, no doubt about it. But I think there are a lot of Dream fans there. Mm-hmm. The building was way louder when the Dream were making their run.
Mm-hmm.
I did really think it was interesting. They opened the doors, I think, right at 6 o'clock for a 7:30 tip-off. And my routine for Hawks games is usually to go hit the concession stand right as it opens so I don't have to wait in line. So I go to my, you know, concession stand to get my usual. And they open the doors, and there are – a bunch of grown men running through the concourse, down the stairs, into the tunnel area where the Fever are warming up. And what's funny is Caitlin Clark had already warmed up. She came out early.
Oh, man.
Wait, man, there are a lot of adult men.
Right. I know. I'm
saying
that. Who
are trying to get this woman's autograph.
Yeah.
And that is, that's interesting on a couple different levels. But
fair enough.
I just thought it was really cool. I'm going to tell you something else. The WNBA has some rule differences from the NBA that I think need to be studied by the NBA. And one of which is the 10-minute quarters.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. That game flew by last night.
I've
done a bunch of dream games this year, either on TV or on radio. It's amazing. Like, you're a couple possessions into the game, and you look up, it's 6 minutes left in the first quarter. This is great. Like, this is flying by. I don't know. The difference between a 40 and a 48-minute game, it just seems to fly by a lot better. It's a much breezier viewing experience. I'm also a proponent of reducing the NBA schedule down to 70 games. I think 82 is too much, so I might be coming from it from a slightly different position. But I just think the game moved quickly. It was not overly officiated in any way. They let a lot of contact go. I like that reset timeout, which is like the equivalent of a 20-second timeout where you just advance the ball into the front court, but you don't get to huddle. That moves things along. I hope that, you know, the NBA will study some of these things and maybe try them in the G League or something like that and see if they could potentially stick in the NBA.
Outside of the fact that you were talking about the gentleman running in and all those other things, was
gentlemen.
Gentlemen. Was the
men.
Was the atmosphere what you thought it would be with her in the building?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it was, but again,
it was awesome.
It was awesome. Like, it reminded me a little bit of the Atlanta United match against Club America a couple years ago here, where a lot of families came, and maybe one member of the family was rooting for Club America, but the rest of the family was rooting for Atlanta United. And that was the thing. Like, there were a lot of people wearing Caitlin Clark jerseys last night or jerseys or Iowa gear, but there were way more Dream fans there. And that was a legitimate sellout crowd, like legit. That was not a softly counted sellout. There were legitimate standing room only people standing behind me and in the aisles and everything like that. And it got loud. It reminded me of a very well-attended Hawks game. So shout out to the Dream and all the people. The Hawks worked very hard along with the Dream to kind of make that work last night. Like John Steinberg sat next to me like it would be for a normal Hawks game.
Nice.
The Hawks stat people and scoring people handed all the building logistics. So it was kind of like a nice little community effort. The Hawks and the Dream working together to put that.
It's always funny in situations like that, like you're talking about. Like, obviously, there's some split allegiance in the building a little bit, more so than normal. There's always fans of other teams in the building, but not quite like that. But then it's also like, you know, it's a home game for the Dream. Like, it's a home production for the Dream. The people that are doing the PA and all of that stuff. Caitlin Clark makes a three. They can't go crazy. Like, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Like,
when the whole building's going
when
crazy.
When Ryan Howard makes a three, you know what I mean? Obviously, because it's a home game.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because the reaction when Caitlin Clark would do anything very much felt huge.
Oh, yeah.
But then everything is so muted. It's like, Caitlin Clark.
That's like when LeBron comes to town. It's
exactly.
Really the exact same
it's
thing.
It's very similar.
When LeBron comes to town, or I really don't even
Steph.
Know. Steph.
Yeah.
Kobe, when he came to town, obviously it was like that. And by the way, that's another really cool thing. I mean, that the WNBA has a star personality like that that's getting people interested to that level. And yeah, maybe there is some resentment and some kind of weird corners of the league. Some veteran players maybe resent that a little bit. How could you not look at 17,000 in Atlanta last night? Boston had, I think, close to 20,000 when she was in town the other night. How can you not look around and think this is not a good thing for the league?
Right.
I mean, we're talking about it. It's a college football weekend, and we're talking about it. So, I don't know. I just hope that whatever resentment or kind of weirdness there is that's lingering about her presence in the league will die down, because she's clearly having a positive effect.
The better she plays, the the more that'll happen too.
She's been playing really well. She's playing really well.
We've been playing really well.
Mike, you said it's college football weekend. Last week we talked a lot about yesterday, Georgia Tech, the big win over Florida State. Obviously, they have Georgia State this weekend. What are some of your thoughts on this weekend? Because I know you and your Nittany Lions got a big one. Got to go to Morgantown this weekend. And obviously, we got Georgia and Clemson here.
Who agreed to a season opener in Morgantown?
At Morgantown.
Oh, my God. Like, come on.
Refresh the memory of folks that may or tell us that maybe don't know, because that's a game that doesn't happen as much as it used to.
No, it used to be every year until 1992 when Penn State went into the Big Ten. They stopped it. And, it's very much an Eastern regional rivalry. That will be the Super Bowl in Morgantown. They have not had Penn State in Mountaineer Field since 1992. And remember, Penn State, because this is what Coach Hot Sauce does, he ran up the score on them at the end of last year. West Virginia turned out to be very good last year. Their coach kept talking about how we'll remember what Penn State did to us. Well, here we go. Now it's a big noon kickoff and hot weather in Morgantown, and I just don't know. Penn State should win that game on paper. They're more talented on paper, but that has not stopped James Franklin from losing games before, so we'll see. I am actually very curious about this Georgia State-Georgia Tech game. And I'm really, really impressed with what Georgia Tech did in Ireland. I'm worried for them because doesn't it feel like the stage could be set for a little bit of a letdown? All right, you just beat a top-10 team, you know, basically a bowl game atmosphere in Ireland. You traveled back, not Saturday, you did sightseeing, you came back on Sunday. All right, got into town, I think, Sunday afternoon. Georgia State, I don't know how much you were listening to the Steakhouse today. It feels like Georgia State is treating this like their Super Bowl. Right. And I know you're going to talk to Brett Key about this tomorrow. I'm wondering how Brett Key manages the emotions right now of his team. They've got to be sky high because of what they did to Florida State. But Georgia State, I'm sure, will be coming to play. Georgia Tech should be a huge, huge favorite. Huge favorite on paper. But just like we talked about with West Virginia and Penn State, this is West Virginia's Super Bowl. It's going to be Georgia State's Super Bowl, too.
I agree with you for sure. And also, you just sort of look back at Georgia Tech the last handful of years.
Listen, I hate to say it.
Anytime anything sort of started going well, they would stumble. But I think this is a Brent Key moment.
I think, totally agree.
This is where you find out exactly, you know, who your leader is.
Remember how Clemsoning used to be a verb?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Dabo came in there and they stopped Clemsoning. I have a feeling Brett Key's coming in there, and there's not going to be too much Georgia Teching anymore.
I don't think so.
You know?
Yeah, I hope.
I really, really hope.
I hope so, too. And who knows? Like, he'll have to show us before you can know that it's true. Yeah. But it just feels like he's the type of guy that knows exactly what you're talking about there. Because he's been on big programs and big staffs before where it's like, we can't, you know, all right, cool, we won that game. Yeah. So, like, now we got to win this game on Saturday.
I think the game with the biggest playoff implications, I know that sounds weird, week one with a 12-team playoff where everyone can afford to lose. Keep an eye on that Notre Dame-Texas A&M
it's
game.
It's crazy.
Because if you look at Notre Dame's schedule, if they lose this game, they might be out already.
Yeah.
I don't think the committee is going to give Notre Dame any leniency or favors for not playing in a conference championship game. I think that's going to be a real ding on their resume when we get into December. So Notre Dame almost, and it's really weird because, you know, Georgia can afford to lose to Clemson. They'll be totally fine. Hell, Alabama could lose to Western Kentucky and could be totally fine if they turn around and win, you know, 11 of their 12 remaining games.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame is not in that position of luxury right now because they don't have the conference championship game. I think they should beat Texas A&M, but I think it's going to be a really tough game out in College Station.
You think about how hard it is to play there. First game of the year. Their head coach knows your starting quarterback.
Right.
So, good point.
I mean, that's going to be Kyle Field on the opening Sunday with a new coach and maybe a new desire. Oh, it's going to be crazy for Notre Dame going in there.
Again, like, it's one thing. I think there's less danger to do what USC did, booking a neutral site game against LSU, than what Notre Dame and Penn State have decided to do going on the road in week one. I think even, you know, Georgia to an extent, there's not a lot of danger in taking a neutral site game against Clemson. You lose, all right, it's a neutral site loss against a good team. Yeah, man, I'm nervous for some of these top 10, top 15 teams. I think we're going to have some upsets week one.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see.
We already did in week zero.
I don't think it was an upset.
Well, by line it was.
By line it was, and by ranking.
I think by mid-October, you're right. It's not going to look like that.
I think yes, big time. Yeah. Unless they stub their toe on Saturday.
Because I
think Georgia State's going to come to play.
We'll ask Brent Key about all that tomorrow at 12:20.
Can't wait to hear that.
I can't wait to talk to him. Looking forward to it. Mike, thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us here on a Tuesday morning, soon to be Tuesday afternoon. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.